Well, today we conclude our series that we've been calling Reach Beyond the Limits. That God is calling us to live a life of vibrancy, to live a life of impact, and yet we are limited by our own abilities of what we can do as humans, what we can do as men and women, and God calls us to reach beyond those, to step out and to follow after Him. And we've been looking at what that means for us. As a church, we try to keep it simple when we say, what is God calling us to do? Why do we exist as a church? That we love God, we love others, and we make disciples. And so when we're talking about reaching beyond the limits, we talk about reaching up to love God, reaching out to love others, and reaching in to make disciples. And a disciple just means a follower of Jesus Christ. And so when we make disciples, that we are followers of Christ that help others follow Christ, that then in turn help others follow Christ. Disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so this is something that we've been talking about for the last several weeks about what this means to love. And from the very beginning, we looked at what the definition of love is. And the love here it's talking about is agape love, which is selfless and sacrificial love, to lay down your life for someone else. And Jared talked last week about making disciples, about what that means to invest in somebody else. So all these things that we talk about, it's well and good. We talk about practical ways. What does it really mean to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? How do we invest in others? And what does it look like to do all of this? And we can talk about this a lot, and it sounds fine, you know, when we're in church, like loving God, loving others, like it's great, let's sing songs about it, let's talk about it. But when it gets down to reality, it's hard. It's tough. It's actually really hard to love other people because they don't always love you back. It's hard to invest in other people because you don't always see a return on investment to you. And today, as we're kind of closing this series, we're looking at a little bit of the why. Why would we do this? And what keeps us back? And honestly, it's fine in church when we're talking about helping other people and doing all this. But when things get tough and when we get tired and when it's hard, we as people are going to ask basic people questions like, what's in it for me? Honestly, like, we are by nature self-serving people. We want to know what is going to advance my own goals in my life. How am I going to take care of myself? How do I look out for number one? How can I live my life so I'm going to ultimately be the happiest and take care of myself? And if that's how we look at the world, which is normal and natural, this stuff is not going to happen. Loving God, loving others, helping people follow Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we're like, well, who's loving me? Who's taking care of me? And to really love someone, the way that God is calling this sacrificial love means that you put yourself on the line. We talked about the story of the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, so to speak, that gave up everything for somebody who was hurting. He didn't even know this guy. He came across a guy that was beaten up, that wasn't even of his same race or his same people, and yet he gave of his donkey, he gave of his money, he gave of his time to help someone, and nothing came back for that Samaritan. There was no benefit, no earthly benefit to that Samaritan. So how can that even work for us? Why would we do things that don't benefit us? Like when we're talking about this building, even as the church, I've talked to some church people, and they're like, I'm all in, we're doing this, but like, you know, we recognize this isn't for us. We're not building ourselves a fancy sanctuary. We're not building ourselves, you know, a place where there's going to be like more comfortable chairs for you. Like this building we're talking about is not really for you. It's for our community. And for some of you in here, like, well, I don't have kids and I don't have special needs family and I don't have these things. So this, if you're giving, you're giving for the benefit of somebody who's not you. What's in it for me? It's tough. Love is tough. We can go so far if there's somebody who has wronged you, or there's somebody that you know that you need to forgive, and you can get to that point to say, okay, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to get to that point. Okay. And then they still don't say they're sorry. I'm going to forgive them, but then now they don't forgive me. Okay, I'm done. Right? We'll go so far and then say, like, I'm done. I will love this person, but then they need to love me back. And that's actually not what biblical love looks like. Is I'm going to pour myself out. I'm going to spend myself for someone else. This is what Jesus Christ did for us, whether we would love him back or not. And we've talked about practical ways to do that. And so today we're going to go kind of less into the how to, but more into the why and what stops us. Because this is a great idea, but when it gets hard, we give up. G.K. Chesterton, the theologian, he said this: the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. And what this means is this: the Christian ideal, loving God, loving others, making disciples. It's not that people have lived this life and then said, ah, it's not rewarding. Ah, it's not good. It's that people have looked at this and really seen the cost to pay and have not tried. Said it's too much. Why would I sacrifice? Why would I give up when they do this? I'm not going to do it. Yet the call is to say, that we would reach beyond the limits of what's too hard, of what's too difficult. That we would love the unlovable. That we would care for those in need. That we would use our finances and our resources to invest in others, even if it doesn't come back to us. Doesn't always make sense. And actually, it seems completely impossible. And that's what Jesus called it. He says, this life is impossible. I'm going to close with the same scripture around the same area that we opened with in Matthew chapter 19. And in Matthew 19, there's this rich young ruler that comes up to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to be able to enter eternal life? What good thing do I have to do? And Jesus says, well, follow all the commandments. And the guy says, well, I've done all those things. And then Jesus says this, well, sell all that you have, give it to the poor and follow me. And the man's like, no. He's like, I'm all in, whatever you need to do. I'm a follower of God. I'm going to do whatever it takes. It's like, okay, great. Give up the thing that matters most to you. Like, no thanks. Let me go see if there's another way. And Jesus says, well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples say, what? This guy's awesome. This guy is such a good guy, and he has all this money, and we all want to be that guy. And you're saying he is not going in the right way, that he's not moving in the way for eternal life in the kingdom of God? Then how does this even work? And Jesus responds like this in Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It was in the response to their question, who then can be saved? And he said, it's impossible. Church family, it's impossible for us to love the way that God calls us to love. You can't do it. You can try, and yeah, definitely, there are good people and there are loving people who are not believers of Jesus Christ that have done great things, and that's fantastic. It's good. But at a certain point, there's a limit. There's a limit. To really go all in, at a certain point in our lives when we do it from our own humanity, we need something back. We need some acknowledgement. We need some encouragement. We need some gain. But this is what God is saying, that to selflessly give, the only way you can do it is if you have a never-ending flow of love and strength pouring into you, and that's through God. If you're doing it of your own, you're pouring yourself out. But if you have a bigger perspective, if you can see the big picture and you can see the love of God and experience his love pouring into you, then you can pour into others. He says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's the kind of life that he calls us to live, a life that makes no sense on your own strength, but in the strength of God, it makes sense. And the disciples come back. Peter, specifically, he's the spokesman, the loudmouth of the group, and he speaks up and he says, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? What's in it for me?" It's like, wait a minute. You're saying this guy isn't willing to sacrifice and so he's not going on that way, but we are. Peter's like, I did what you told that guy to do. I left everything and I followed you. And so did my friends here, all of us disciples, like you know, James and John here, they left their dad in the boat. And they just said, see you, dad, and you keep the family business. They left the fish and the nets and the boats, and they just followed you. So we've done all of this. So now what? We're not seeing anything back, coming back to us. So what? What's in it for us? What happens next? Jesus says this, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So what he's saying, he's alluding to something else. He said, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things." So what he's saying is, there's another time to come after this. You guys, when you ask what's in it for me, you're asking like now. Like next week, are we going to be able to have something happening where you're going to get your boat back and your fish back and your dad back and everything's going to happen? And he's saying, I'm going to tell you, it's not now, but at the renewal of all things. And what he's talking about is saying there will be a time where the world will be made new. That right now we're living really in a mixture of heaven and hell. Where we have the presence of God here, but it's kind of veiled. We get moments, we get glimpses of heaven. We get glimpses of the presence of God in joy and in laughter and seeing nature. And yet, this is also a place because of sin where we as humans have allowed the devil to reign. And now we're in a time right now where the devil is reigning on earth. And so there is also hell on earth. That every day when there is betrayal and when there is lying and when there is sin, when there is sickness and when there is death, that's that glimpse of hell. We're in the mixture of it. But what Jesus is saying is there will be a day where all things will be renewed, where heaven and hell will be separated. Earth will no longer be like this of this mixture. We will have one or the other. There will be hell, there will be heaven. There will be evil, there will be good. And all those who are following after Jesus Christ, all those who have trusted in him, that he has paid for their sins, that he has paid for that hell, that evil in our lives, and has cleansed us, we live forever in eternity of good. And he says, at the renewal of all things, in that time, you will be rewarded. In that time, you 12 guys, you're each going to get your own throne to judge over the tribes of Israel. And we're like, well, good for them. You're reading this and you're like, oh, I guess Peter gets a throne and gets to judge and stuff like that. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what's in it for me? It's good. He get what do I get? There you go. It's next. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or friends for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And many who are last will be first. And what he's saying here is that sacrifice of love, to love God, to love others, to make disciples, to invest in somebody else's life that has cost something to you. Jesus says it will be coming back to you 100 times over. Now again, for us to really love selflessly, that self-interested part kind of seems like it messes it up. We're like, wait, so am I doing something? Am I going to sacrifice so I get it back? No, it's not that we're doing things so that I can get a reward in heaven. But Jesus is just saying, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. You're going to get taken care of. You don't have to worry that those things aren't going to be repaid. Now, we're not trying to add it up. You don't think in your mind to say like, okay, well, I didn't do this business deal because I knew it was shady and I knew it wasn't honoring to God. So I left. There was a $100,000 business deal. I didn't do it. But when I get to heaven, it's going to be times 100, 100,000 times 100, $10 million waiting for me in heaven. That's not how it works. But what it is saying that the last will be first and the first will be last. That if you live this life of following Jesus, actually in a lot of people's eyes, it's lowering. It's somehow we become less because we're giving up. And that's what's so hard about forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you feel like, I feel like I'm letting them be okay and I'm not okay. I'm saying that it's all right and it's not all right. And somehow I'm letting them off the hook. And we just wrestle with this. And we're saying we're not letting anyone off the hook. Forgiveness is saying I'm trusting that person to God's judgment and God's mercy. And because I've been forgiven, I will forgive them. And God says the least will become great. Those that we spend our lives for others, God says it will come back around. Now, what's hard for us, though, is that we don't see it. Like, we're very aware of, like, what's right now. Like, the money we have right now, the time we have right now, the relationships we have right now, like, what we have right now. And, like, that just seems, like, far off. This seems more important than the renewal of all things. We're like, that, I'll deal with that when I get there. Except that's actually a much larger part of our lives. It's like this, like, just visually to think about our lives here. I've got a rope here, and I need Mark. Can you come up and help me out here? All right. So this rope represents your life. Go ahead and stand up here, Mark. And this part that Mark is holding, this red part here, that represents your life here on Earth. That about 6 inches long. So this is when you're born. This is when you die. Now, we don't know. Some of you have a longer red part, and some of us might have a shorter one. We don't know what the future holds. But this is your life. Now, the thing is, when you die here, your life doesn't actually end. Your physical life ends, and you're buried or you're cremated, and it ends here. But your spirit continues on and on and on and on and on and on. Whether heaven or hell, we are beings that live on into eternity. And it never stops. Eternity doesn't end at the door. It keeps going on and on. I'm going to do this from down the hill now. So if you imagine that this rope keeps shooting out through the playground, and through the Florenzi's house, and through the Gunter's house, and through the Thompson's house, and like on and on and on. This is your life. Thank you, Mark. I'll take the life from here. This is our life. And this is right now. Actually, this is your whole life. 80, 100, however long you're going to live here. And think about the stuff that we worry about and what we try to do. It's all here, and yet the fullness of your life goes out the door and goes around the block and around the world. Infinite does not end. When Jesus says it's the renewal of all things, then it's life that goes on for eternity. Family, you have eternity in your future. You have eternity in your future. Some of us, because all we think about is this, and even maybe if you're getting a little older, you're like, well, I kind of don't have much longer. I want to make the best of the rest of my life here. It's so funny, like we think about things like long-term planning. When you and I talk about long-term planning, what we mean is this. I'm going to go to school and get a job, and then I'm going to work my job, and then I'm going to save my money so that I can live my life here. I'm going to retire, and then this is going to be great. My long-term planning is right here. What about this? And this? And this? That's long-term planning. This is short-term goals. And so the question that we really have in our lives is how we're living your life and investing your life, what is the impact that it's having on eternity? Both your eternity and the eternity of others. Am I living my life in such a way that, one, I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've said, I'm not trying to do it on my own. I'm trusting in you so that my eternity is with you and I'm secure. And then two, am I living my life so that the people around me, that they also have this eternal security of their life? And then also, somehow this connects in, that the things that I do now, how I live my life now, affects what life is going to be like for me in eternity. Again, we're not trying to earn like bigger thrones and bigger mansions, and I don't think any of that stuff is going to matter to us, but there's an impact that it has for eternity. And I think one of the problems, again, is we just see this in front of us so much. We see our needs, and we see like, well, if I give my time to be with this other person, or if I give my finances here, and then maybe I can't go on that trip that I wanted to go on here. That trip would have been here. But because I gave up on that trip here, I gave to somebody in need. I helped to be able to build a building that was beyond just my family, but impacted for generations and people's eternities forever. We lose sight of eternity. I want to read a scripture about the rest of the rope. Revelation chapter 21. Let me share this with you. This is a glimpse of eternity. This is Jesus sharing this with the Apostle John. John gets this vision to see what is to come. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." This is the new earth. This is the new life that he's saying. We understand right now we're living in this mixture of heaven and hell, and we can't really understand what's going on, but he's saying that's going to all change. One day, that will all change, where Jesus says, "I am making all things new. I'm making all things new. I'm starting a new narrative. I'm changing things now. I'm separating things out. And now, for eternity, you get to be with me." The presence of God, where right now we can kind of sense God sometimes and kind of can't at other times. And he said, that's all going away. My presence will be with you straight up. There's going to be no veil in between, no distance between us forever and ever. For there will be no more crying, no more mourning, no more death. How good will that be? I mean, I can't help but think that those that we love, that we know have been walking with Jesus, that's what they're experiencing right now. That's what Beverly Hammond, who passed away this morning, is experiencing this right now. No more heart attack, no more stroke, no more tears. Those that we love that have passed on, they're experiencing this right now. And this is what we will experience if we trust in the Lord. And so it kind of makes this stuff that we're going through seem a little bit less like a big deal. And now we can start to think, well, how can I live my life so that what I'm experiencing right now matters for eternity? So that I can get a sense of the bigger picture. That's what Jesus reveals this to John. And he shows a little bit more. He said, this is for all those who believe in me. This is this full life that is waiting for you. It says this. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha. Did I miss it? There we go. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And so Jesus is saying, I've done the work. It's not, you don't have to earn your way in. You don't have to be good enough. I have done the work. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. If you believe in me, for those who are thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. To those who are victorious, will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And so we just want to talk about heaven. We just want to say, all right, then, and then we're all going to live forever with Jesus, and it's great. And it is. But again, when we talk about the fact that right now heaven and hell is mixed, and both will be separated, where there will be eternally a place of eternal good and a place of eternal evil, then there's two places. And the thing that God does is he honors our choice. He's not going to force somebody to live forever in heaven that doesn't want to be there. And all of us were like, well, doesn't everybody want to be there? It's like, actually, if you look at people's life choices, not really. Not really. That he's saying right now you can choose where the direction you want to go in your life. You can choose to follow after me. And if you do, then if you want to be close to me, you'll be close with me for eternity. If you want to be far from me, you're going to be far from me for eternity. And that's the offer that's being given right now. And that's why we want to encourage people. And that's why sometimes I know Christian people find Christians annoying because they're like, why are they talking about heaven and hell and like, you know, be born again and all this kind of stuff? Why is that? Well, that's because we believe that there's this whole eternity. And actually, if you kind of find me annoying or you don't like me, like here, I'm going to be okay. But I hope if it has a chance to change your this, I'm going to be annoying. Will you? Will we say that we want to make a difference? Now, obviously, we don't want to be annoying. We don't have to be. We want to be effective. We want to be loving. We want to be caring. And we don't consign it. We're not saying it. We don't get to choose, nor do we want to, for anybody of their eternity, whether they're going to heaven and hell or what they're going to experience. We're not the judges. But you have this time right now to be able to influence someone's eternity. That this is what we get to do. And I was reading a book this week by a pastor, Dan Stanford, and it came across this quote, and I just couldn't shake it. He said, as followers of Christ, this world is the only hell we will ever know. As followers of Christ, this world is the only hell we will ever know. I don't know if that encourages you or discourages you. You're like, this is my hell. Kind of is, actually. Yeah, and so you're like, oh, why is it so painful? Why? But then you think, it's not going to get worse. At the end here, then it's only going to be better. There's no more. The pain, the suffering that we experience now, that's the end. Hallelujah. And to be able to push through this, even if things, we make choices that actually make this life a little bit harder for us, but somehow it influences someone's eternity for the better or our eternity for the better, it's worth it. And I also can't help but think the flip side of this, that for those who do not follow Christ, to those who do not allow Christ into their lives to be able to receive salvation, who do not choose to follow God, this world is the only heaven they'll ever know. This is as good as it gets. Because right now there's glimpses of God. There's glimpses of him and his presence, but eternity apart from God, there's none of that. There's none of that. But what he moves us forward is he gives us this opportunity. He says, I will give you this life. And again, what we want to look at right now is, are we living lives now on this side? Are we living lives in the red line so that the rest of our eternity makes sense? Again, I don't think it's that God is looking at us and going to judge and say, hey, you did good, you did bad, so you get this mansion, you get this job, and you have to be the janitor, you get the outhouse. You know, I don't think that's how God is looking at it. But if you think about it logically, if we live our lives in the language of God, loving others, making disciples, that's what's going to be happening for eternity. And so we get to join him in that. Otherwise, it won't make sense. I've heard it described this way. I love this description of heaven and hell. That hell is people gathered together around a beautiful banquet table. That just the best food that you can imagine. And the smells of it are so good. And they're sitting around this banquet table. But all they have to eat with are spoons that are too long. And so they're around the table, and they can smell it, and they can dip in with their big spoon, but they just can't quite get it in their mouths. For all eternity, smelling your favorite food, having it right away from your lips, and never tasting it. That's hell. But that heaven is the exact same table. The banquet table, the great food, and actually the same spoons. But everyone at that table is feeding one another. Feeding one another. Because they learned the language of heaven. Love God, love others, make disciples. And when that's your mindset, you'll be sitting at the same table. But because you've been walking in that language, you know what that looks like. You know how to live. And so for somebody who's not walking with Christ, actually heaven will feel like hell to them. Because they won't be able to get their own way. They won't be able to do what they want to do. They won't be able to just benefit themselves. But if we have lived our lives being changed and transformed, we live in the renewal of all things. Just backing up to that scripture, just giving us that insight. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. We are victorious, not by our power, but by the word of the Lord and by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ shed for us. And something happens here. It's another thing that blows my mind that I'm like real excited about. It is that this eternity part, like right here when we die, or right here when Jesus says, I'm making all things new, again, this mixture of heaven and hell, this good and evil, is separated out. The battle is over. And then now, for the rest of eternity, there's a new story. There's a new narrative that we have no idea what it is and how it works. See, for us in our lives, the biggest story is good versus evil. That's any great novel, any great song, any great movie, it's all about the story of good versus evil. How does love win out? Does evil win out? How does that work? And that's when good wins, it's comedy. When bad wins, it's tragedy. That's all the story that we have. And then at this point, that story's going to end. In the rest of heaven, the rest of eternity, there's no longer the struggle of good versus evil. And that's why with our small mind, sometimes people think, oh, well, heaven's going to be boring. Like, I'd rather be in hell because hell seems like maybe there's more dynamic. No, there's not. Won't be more dynamic. It's just evil. It's just bad. There's not hope for good. And like, oh, but heaven seems boring because there's not hope for adventure or sadness or nothing can go wrong. It's like, no. Let's get beyond that. There's a new story. There's a story that's actually more intriguing, more interesting, more dynamic than good versus evil. And I don't know what it is. And I'm never going to know what it is here. Right now, we live through the good versus evil. We live, and this is the time where we get to choose good or evil, love or death, hope, life or death. This is where we choose. And then once you start in that life where there is only good and only hope and only life, it's a whole brand new story. It's a whole brand new adventure. I don't think it's going to be dull. I don't think it's going to be boring. I think it's going to be dynamic and amazing, but I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what stories we're going to write. I don't know what comic books we're going to have out there. I don't know what movies we're going to have, because the story of good and evil is over. There's an even better comic book. There's a better movie. There's a better song yet to come. And I want to live that. And I want you to live that. And I want my neighbors and my friends to live that. And it all depends on the choices that we make now. And that's why it's before us, the limits that we have, where we say, it's too hard to love God, to love others, to make disciples. Like, I'm too tired. I've got too much time. I've got too much other things I need to take care of. Got to tell you, church family, all this stuff, it's all going to be done. When you're living your life in eternity, all of this is just moments. This building is going to be done. Even the building that's not even built yet, that's going to be destroyed. It's not going to be around forever. But what we do in those buildings makes a difference. Your job is going to be done. Your life is going to be done. No one's going to remember the company you work for, the product that you made 10 million years from now. No. You will still be alive 10 million years from now. What you're doing now impacts then. Will you live your life for the big picture? Will you live your life so that it echoes into eternity? It's my encouragement. I know it kind of is hard because we're just so focused. Like, yeah, but what about tomorrow? What about me paying this bill? What about all that matters? I get it. But it's not going to matter 10 million years from now. How you handle it, how you handled that stress, how you treated the people around you, how you chose to use what you have for the good of others in the long term, just might matter 10 million years from now. Let me pray for us, and we're going to close out in a song. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have created us as beings that get to live forever. Our souls live on. And Lord, some of us here in this room, we hear this and we're like so encouraged and we're looking forward, just like, I can't wait till that day where I live forever with you, Jesus. Others in this room, honestly, it's like scary. Whoa, I'm not quite sure which table I'm going to sit at. I don't know where I'm going to end up. So Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that has any doubt about where their eternal destination is going to be, that today they will say, I give my life to you, Jesus. I trust in you. I want to follow after you. I want to choose life and not death. And so I turn my life to you. And Lord, if there's anyone here in this room, I just want to give them an opportunity right now. And I just want to speak to you. If this is you that you're praying this right now, you can speak to God in your own heart and say to him, Jesus, I follow after you. I turn away from my life of sin. I turn away from my own self-interested life, and I turn towards you, that you would forgive me of my sins, and that I would live in eternity with you and serve you with my life on earth now. God, I pray for each person in this room, whether they prayed that prayer just now for the first time or whether that's their life journey, God, that you would help each of us to show how do we live our limited days now so that it affects the unlimited life in our future and the future of those around us. May this not be a guilt trip message, Lord, I pray for each person. Instead, that we may receive the word you have for us and put that into action to live our lives for the big picture. We thank you, God, that you have a great big picture, that you conquered death and evil, that you are victorious, and you have an even better story lined up in our future, and we don't even know what that is. We're so excited, God. We follow after you. May we take advantage of the moment you give us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. He's a God who was and is to come. And we get to join him in that eternity as we live on past the red line, past our small view of our lives and into the bigger picture. Are you living your life to impact your eternity and the eternity of others? Are you living a life so that when you sit down at the table with a long spoon, you'll know what to do? He loves you. He's with you. If you're making a decision in your life to follow after Christ, or you want to know, what does that look like for me to live this type of life? I'd love to talk with you, Nick, Jared, others in here. We'd love to just walk with you. So stay after, pray with us, talk with us, and so we can live that life together that echoes into eternity. Receive this blessing over your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as you go from this place, may you go realizing that your life lives on. May you go with a larger perspective of how you've been staring at the smallness of your life. May you step back and see how big God is and the long life He has in front of you. May you use the small moments that you have now for your eternity and the eternity of others. May you be unafraid to reach beyond the limits through the power of Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, Amen. God bless you and go in peace.